Test Zion Kislev, Tuesday the 19th of November, Rabbi Rashi Simon, The Righteousness of Yosef.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here once again on the Torah Way, and commendations to everyone who is joining us here on a bright and chilly Tuesday morning. We're talking about Yosef. Obviously, he's the central personality in this week's parasha, next week as well. And I'd like to talk about an aspect of his career, very well known, and this is the faithful test to which he was subjected. And what I'd like to share with you today derives partly from the Slonim Rebbe in Netivot Shalom, partly from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and partly some of my own ideas. So that's my intention to share with you this morning. The Slonim Rebbe begins his essay on our subject quoting a fascinating medrash that Yosef said, Abba nisnasa, zekeni nisnasa, v'ni eini misnase. My father was tested. I'm not certain, by the way, exactly to what test the reference is in the life of Yaakov. He had quite a few challenges, so I'm not certain exactly to what the reference is. Zekeni probably means Yitzchak, or maybe Avram Avinu. Avram was certainly tested, as is very well known. V'ni eini misnase, but I haven't been tested. Who would invite that kind of challenge? I'm not quite sure. Perhaps the Medrash means it ironically. I'm going to subject you to a trial, to a test that is more onerous, that is more challenging than theirs. And the reference, of course, is to that fateful occasion where he was propositioned by the wife of Potiphar. The Medrash also says very famously, Hayam Ra'av Yanovs, the sea saw and fled. Mara'ah, what did the sea see that caused it to flee? It works great in English, by the way. Arona Shel Yosef, when Klal Yisrael was at the bank, at the shore of Yam Suf, and the waters were not inclined to split, and they refused to split because they said, look, we're doing our job. It's not our nature to split one from the other. So we're not going to, until they saw Aron Shel Yosef. The Aron of Yosef caused the waters to split. Vayanas, because it says, Vayanas v'etze hachutza. Just as Yosef fled, so Hayam Ravayanos, when it saw Aron Shel Yosef, when the remains of Yosef were brought, so to speak, to the edge of the sea, so the sea split. And you've got to wonder, why is it that the merit of 600,000 members of Klal Yisrael, the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was not sufficient to cause the water to split. The sea split, the waters of Yam Suf split only because of Aron Shel Yosef, v'yanas v'yatzei achutza. And understanding the nisayon of Eishes Potiphar, the way the Medrash characterizes it, as somehow more challenging and more onerous than Ur Kasdim, than Avram Avinu, who was thrown into a fiery furnace, or more difficult than Kedas Yitzchak, which is the climactic moment of the life of Abraham and of Yitzchak. How can it be that it was so difficult? And moreover, we have the famous Gemara in Yuma that says, Hillel mechayv es ha'aniyim, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsa mechayv es ha'ashirim, v'Yosef mechayv es ha'rasha'im. That Yosef, who resisted the blandishments, who resisted the severe temptation of the wife of Potiphar, his mistress, under those very difficult circumstances, that Yosef mechayv es ha'rasha'im. If Yosef could restrain himself, so every Rasha should be able to do the same. And the Slonim Rebbe asks, is it really fair to bring Yosef as an exemplar in order to condemn the Rasha'im? After all, Yosef grew up in the home of Yaakov. He was the son of the Bechir Sheva Avos. He was Kadosh mi Rechem mi Leida. Okay, he was subjected to a certain trial, but is it really sensible to say that if Yosef could resist, so every Rasha should be able to resist as well? So, these are the questions with which the Slonim Rebbe begins his beautiful essay on our subject. And he explains as follows, that the Nisayon of Yosef was not just one person who was in a situation of temptation, but rather he says that at the time when he was propositioned by the wife of Potiphar again and again, and then by Hi Hayom on that one occasion when there was no one else around, and Yosef enters the house, Lasos Melachto, and she grabs onto his garment and says, Shichvayimi. So at that time, he says that Yosef was ambushed by every ta'ava in the world, every sense of longing, every desire. The burning yearning within him was overwhelming. And it's as if he became the focus of all of the forces of evil that exist, were concentrated on Yosef and his own mind and his own needs and his own temptation. And he compares it to the famous Gemara in Kiddushin, Rav Amram Chasida. You know, the Gemara says there was a man called Rav Amram Chasida, which the Gemara does not attach the appellation Chasid to many people. And on one occasion, he was gripped by such a intense desire for a certain Avera, which is not that much different than Yosef's circumstance. And it says that he was so full of ardor that he gripped a ladder that would normally take 10 people to move, and he moved it on his own, and he started to climb up the ladder to fulfill his objective. And in a moment of desperation, he cried out, Nura, Nura, there's a fire! And people came running to see, where's the fire? And of course, the embarrassment and the shame that overwhelmed him to see people, him climbing on the ladder to the loft of the harlot caused him to desist. And they say, you know, how could he say, you know, there's a fire, there's no fire? He meant there's a fire in his heart. There's a fire of the Yetzer Hara which is burning within him. And this is how we can understand why it is, as the Medrash says elsewhere, that this is quoted by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that a certain Matrona, a Roman matron, said to Rav Yossi, and she asked him, he said, how could it be that Yosef possibly had the inner strength to withstand that temptation? And if you think about it, he was 17 years old, he was distanced from his family, he had been spurned by his brother, sold down the river. He was charismatic, he was good looking, he was self-conscious as well, possibly not so much to his credit. He was lonesome. He had every reason to succumb to that severe temptation. And she said, how could it be? How could it be that he resisted? And the answer, of course, is, in a sense, it was a superhuman act of self-control on his part. And this is why, because it was like, as if supernatural. It was chutz l'teva. So in a similar way, the waters of the Yam Suf also split because they went against their teva. It's a keen insight into human nature that it is so much part of the natural temptation of a person under those circumstances that to resist is as if a supernatural act of courage and determination. And in a similar way, that's why it was Mida Kenegin Mida, that's why the waters of the Yam Suf also split. It's also, they went against their teva. And that's why it was taka greater zchus, even than that of Klal Yisrael. It was a zchus that was of a supernatural moment, of a supernatural intensity. I wanted to say, actually, it just occurred to me, maybe this is the meaning of that famous statement, Kasha zivugel shel adam kikriyas yamsuf. And Mr. Gemara says that to bring two people together is kasha kikriyas yamsuf. And you know, it's difficult to understand if you think about it. Is it such a difficult thing? Kasha lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu kikriyas yamsuf. I mean, doing what comes naturally. You know, a lot of people seem to accomplish that. Where is the supernatural component in it? And I wonder, maybe what the Gemara is hinting to is Zivugo Shel Adam, it means the fidelity to bring two people together whose devotion to one another will be exclusive. so that neither one will be tempted by any other opportunity or any other temptation that comes their way. Maybe this is what it means. That's why it's kasha zivug shel adam kikriyas yamsuf, that just as the yamsuf split in a supernatural way, so for a person to maintain total constancy, total fidelity, without an errant thought or without an errant aspiration, maybe this is a mida keneged mida. Maybe this is why it's kashu kikriyas yamsuf, the zivug shel adam. It's the lasting loyalty, and it's the lifelong devotion, which possibly is mida keneged mida. And that's why the water split, because Yosef was the one. He wasn't even married at the time, and Yosef succeeded in resisting that intense temptation. So how did he do it? What was the secret? So Rashi already quotes the Gemara, which explains how he did it. And actually, possibly, as it says, Ravu Shmuel, the two different opinions, Lasos Melachto. One opinion is, we don't know who is who, but one opinion is that he went to do the work that he was responsible to do. He was the head of the household. But the other opinion says, no, he went Lasos Melachto. It's a euphemism. He entered the house. He had decided he's going to succumb to her approaches, because it says she approached him yom yom, day by day, and he always refused. And the Gemara says, on this occasion he decided, he's got to give in. He can't resist any longer. And sure enough, she was the only one home. Everybody else had gone out for the day, providentially. And as Rashi quotes, he was at the moment of succumbing to that intense temptation, and the anticipation was overwhelming him, until he beheld an image of his father's visage. Duk Nashal Aviv. His father appeared to him and spoke to him in quite harsh words. He says, do you know that your brethren, their names will appear on the Choshen Mishpat? Do you want your name to be absent? And people will say of you that you were a patron of prostitutes. It was only that, warning, that admonition of his father's image that appeared to him, which caused him to desist. But Rakov Kamenetsky says, from here you see the responsibility that a father has. What kind of father, what kind of image, that a person would conjure up in his imagination of his father would cause him to desist under those circumstances? It can only be a father who is admirable, who is respected. It can only be a father who himself represents those values. Obviously, if the son has lost faith in his father, if his father has lost credibility in the eyes of his son, it's not going to have that effect. He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga, based on the pasuk in Malachi, if the Rebbe is Kemalach Hashem, so then Toya Vakshumi Pihu, that someone who teaches Torah, and a father, I think, has not less of a responsibility. If he is a paradigm, if he represents those values which he espouses, if he lives the values, so then he will have that credibility, that currency in the eyes of his son, and the memory, the image of his father can cause the son to stay on the right path. It's interesting, this idea of Dmus Diukna Shel Aviv, I don't know if it was necessarily a supernatural event. It could have been a psychological experience as well. And the reason I say that is there's a remarkable story of a man called Harry Walpert. He was born in Kelham in 1891, according to my research. And he made his way to America in the 1920s. He arrived in Baltimore, Maryland in the 1920s. And there he found a job. But like so many jobs in America at that time, it was very difficult to be able to work 5 days a week and not to work on Shabbos. And he lost his job because he wouldn't come in on Saturday. They told him, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Monday. There are lots more people like you to fill this position. And in the 1930s, after the Great Depression, it was exceedingly difficult. And on one occasion, he was on the verge of taking one of those six-day-a-week jobs out of desperation. And he learned in Kamenetz by Rav Baruch Ber. And he said that as he was about to go into that office and accept that position, 6 days a week, the image of Rav Baruch Ber appeared to him. And he thought, I can't do it. I can't betray the trust of my Rebbe. He did resist. And with great difficulty, found a different job. This man, Harry Walpert, became the first chairman of the board of governors of Ner Yisrael Yeshiva in Baltimore. And he held that position from 1939 until 1991. For 62 years, he died at the age of 101. He always credited his achievement to the Dmus Dyugno Shel Rabba Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. So therefore, I say that when Chazal teaches us the image of Yaakov intervened at the last moment, and Yosef managed to restrain himself, and at what risk, at what cost, he abandoned his garment, v'yonas v'yitzeh hachutza, and he was running around without his clothing, but he fled outside, and leaving her holding his garment, and of course, when she started to scream, so she framed him, and he must have known that. He must have known that he was there in Mitzrayim as a captive, someone who was sold on the slave market. What would become of him? What punishment would befall him? He must have known. And he found the courage, and he found the determination to resist, even at that moment. This is the greatness. This is Vayanas Ve'etzeachutz Hayam Ra'av Yanos. And therefore, this is why it was such an intense trial, because it was such a human trial. It was an experience to which a person can relate in the course of human affairs. And that's why it was such a severe trial. And this indeed is the greatness of Yosef, why he's tzaddik yisod olam. The Sanhedrin Rebbe adds one final idea. He says that, you know, it could be that the whole story of Yosef and Potiphar, which is maybe the defining experience in his life, in his spiritual growth, like we say, it's the great nisayon of Yosef. He says it could be the whole reason for it is a masa avosim and labanim formula. In a different context, Rabbeinu Bechaya speaks about the time when Avraham went down to Mitzrayim, Avraham and Sarai at the time. And he explains it was all Masa Avosim and Labanim, and so many things that happened to Avraham and Sarah and their visit to Mitzrayim foreshadowed the experience of Klal Yisrael generations and centuries later. So the Sanhedrin Rebbe says something similar about Yosef. He said it could be the reason Yosef went to Mitzrayim and the reason he had this most severe test of his constancy was because Mitzrayim is Ervas Haaretz. Mitzrayim is the paradigm for debauchery, the paradigm for degeneracy. Mitzrayim represents the place where Gilui Arayos was the theme of the whole country. One could suggest that the similar thing can be said for a lot of countries nowadays as well. But Mitzrayim was the paradigm for that in its day. So Yosef was sent to Mitzrayim, and Yosef's ability to overcome that temptation, to maintain his personal integrity, is the masa avos simen labanim for Klal Yisrael when they came down a generation later, actually already in his lifetime, but the Shibud began later. And it says that although Klal Yisrael, they were so theologically corrupt, to the point, as it says, halalo ovde avarazara, halalo ovde avarazara, and they descended to the lowest rung, to the 49th level of degradation. But Gilui Arayos, Geda Arayos, they maintained. They did not succumb to the influence of Mitzrayim. It says, Rashi mentions it, that there's just one person whose events are described in Bamidbar. Only one person, Shlomis Bas Divri, who erred, but otherwise they were able to maintain their personal integrity. Gedra Arayos, how could it be? They went to such a place and they were there as a slave population. So he says it's only because of Yosef. This is the trailblazing work, if you like, of Yosef. This is the precedent of Yosef, who weakened the potency of Mitzrayim as Erev HaSaaretz. It was because of Yosef. And if this is the case, it means even the Geula itself was to the credit of Yosef. And it was in the merit, although they were guilty of Avodah Zarah, they had lost their tradition, even of the belief in Hashem, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but the water split, and Klal Yisrael was redeemed in the merit of Yosef, because of the example that Yosef set, and this is Yosef Mechayev, is HaRashayim, and this is the greatness of Yosef, this is the trial of Yosef, and this is the paradigm that Yosef represents for all of us, I would say even Adayom Hazeh.